Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Chinese and American people work together and create new opportunities together every single day. Mr. President, today we've shown that our governments can work together as well for our mutual benefit. And that includes this bit of news. Under a new agreement, our National Zoo will continue to dazzle children and visitors with the beloved giant pandas. So I propose a toast to our people, the citizens of the People's Republic of China, and the United States of America. May they grow together in friendship, may they prosper together in peace, and may they realize their dream of the future for themselves, for their children, and for their grandchildren.
Well, xenophilia is in the air. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Xenophilia, which is, of course, the opposite of xenophobia. Some are Anglophiles, some are Anglophobes, some fear foreigners. But most liberals are xenophilic. There's not a foreigner they meet that they don't worship. Obama, of course, is the liberal of that stripe, if you want to call him a liberal. I, of course, have a different description for him. I believe he's far different than an average liberal. And, of course, we know this began under Kissinger-Nixon, or Nixon-Kissinger. It didn't begin with Obama. But Obama's toasting China while they steal, copy, and cheat us in the United States of America. Let me repeat it in case you missed it. Obama toasts China while they steal, copy, and cheat us in the United States of America. Fabulous article on this from Charles Hurt in the New York Post that I posted on michaelsavage.com, and he spells it out. Steak and Cabernet. While China's factories continue to pump out billions of dollars worth of counterfeit goods that are being sold right in the street in Lower Manhattan and across the nation on the internet. On Canal Street, a vendor with a table full of knockoff designer handbags brazenly peddled a supposed Coach handbag to a New York Post reporter for $50. Far from the price of the real bag, the U.S.-based firm's Madison Lawyer sells for $698 in stores. U.S. customs officials have determined that 90% of these fake goods, from pharmaceuticals to knockoff handbags, originate in China's factories, robbing U.S. firms of profits and workers of jobs. So the question is, do you know any of this? Do you care about it? Well, it's a tough question for you to answer, but I would say let them eat carrot sticks, which is quite telling unto itself. Here we have a first lady who continuously charades as a lover of health foods and tells you to eat carrot sticks and things healthy. And yet we have the China State dinner menu, which consists of steak, apple pie, and ice cream. This is a menu you would have expected in the coal stack era of the 1950s, certainly not from a so-called younger, healthy couple. Steak, apple pie, and ice cream. It's a cardiotoxic meal while telling us let them eat carrot sticks. To me, it symbolizes an awful lot, certainly not everything. But I ask you again, do you fear China will enslave the United States as many on the conservative side do? I mean, let's lay it on the line. Is this xenophobia or is this realistic? Do you fear China will eventually enslave the United States, robbing us of our freedoms themselves? And who do you blame most for China's stealing, copying, and cheating? Do you blame China or do you blame our own whoever? Read the story. See what it's about. Call us if you wish. Are there other ways in which China is strangling or triangulating us? Well, let's go back to old Bill Clinton and the Panama Canal. You want to go back to the Panama Canal, which is now basically run by China? Do you want to go back to the Long Beach Naval Shipyard, the only deep water port that can take an aircraft carrier now owned by China, sold by Bill Clinton? How about tainted Chinese food imports that you are eating with no regard to the health effects whatsoever? The Washington Post recently reported on how dried apples preserved with a cancer-causing chemical are being admitted to the United States of America. How about frozen catfish loaded with banned antibiotics? How about scallops and sardines coated with putrefying bacteria? How about mushrooms from China laced with illegal pesticides coming in from China that the FDA detained at U.S. ports in 1 month alone? What about lead-poisoned children's toys imported from China? What about Obama saying that the two great empires are coming together for the common good, while we see China has created a stealth fighter that can run rings around our own fighter, according to reports, and our clueless defense secretary sat there dumbfounded, not even knowing it was going to happen? China's massive military buildup is based almost entirely on technology they stole from the United States. You think I'm making it up? Well, a recent example being the stealth fighter, which is 10 years ahead of the schedule that U.S. morons in the military had predicted. The dumb idiots in the military told us they were 10 years away from a stealth fighter. The announcement of the new stealth fighter was a humiliation for the stepford wife of Obama, Defense Secretary Gates, and yet it was an attempt to frighten America. Of course, you didn't read much about that in your local newspaper. How about computer hackers in Beijing who are working for the Chinese military, who are stealing highly sensitive information about America's nuclear weapons research from places like the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico? Shall I go on? Well, I will go on, if you don't mind, because I still have freedom of speech, something that I don't think is going to be around for much longer in the United States if this character retains the presidency for another term. If you care to comment on any of this, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. George in Las Vegas, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. It's an honor to speak with you.
Hold on. Before you start, would you please fix your telephone?
Well, I don't really believe we're in any position to judge anyone else. All men are hypocrites. That's from the Bible. And we do need world peace. President Kennedy reached out to Khrushchev and had dialogue.
So wait. So you see no difference between a country that has a Congress and elections and a country that has no elections?
No, because we're too corrupt. We're too corrupt.
But we just threw 100 Democrats out. Wasn't that a sign of a healthy democracy?
No, the Republicans are they instigated a lot of this mess.
So, in other words, you'd rather see no democracy at all. It would be the same to you.
I would like to see our backyard cleaned up, and I really believe we should clean up our own backyard first, and then.
I see. So, in other words, as the trains were rolling to Auschwitz, putting people in the gas chambers, you would have looked the other way because of what? Crime in the streets of Manhattan?
No, sir. There were American companies and these bankers that are too big to fail that financed Hitler and helped Hitler.
So here we go again, the generalizations based upon ignorance rather than upon facts. So now you're accusing the U.S. government itself of having worked with Hitler, the entire government. What's the matter, George? Cat got your tongue? Okay, another ignorant moron from Tucson. 1-800-449-8255. See if you can ban him from buying a gun, that guy. You know, rather than doing a background check, you should just have him call Conservative Talk Radio. And anyone who doesn't pass the Savage IQ test should be banned from the right to buy guns. I never heard anything like that guy. In other words, no democracy, no votes are the same thing as our country. As klutzy as our country is, we still have a democracy. We just threw 100 of Nancy Pelosi's Goombas out, didn't we? 100 of her Goombas just got thrown out because of what they did to us during her tenure. Don't tell me we don't have a democracy. Albany, New York. Tom, you're on the Savage Nation.
I blame our government for what the Chinese didn't steal that we gave them. There's no excuse. Now they're sucking up to him. You got Harry Reid calling him a dictator, but Harry Reid won't even look at the other half of Congress passed repealing that.
Well, that's because it takes one to know one. I think that's why Harry Reid said that.
exactly.
I think he saw a fellow politician in who. Thanks for the call. Sacramento, Greg, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please. Vent if you wish.
Michael, I blame Bill Clinton for a lot of what the Chinese got today. That's my opinion. I think under his watch, the Chinese stole a lot of our technology.
Well, we know that certain technology was transferred under Bill Clinton wholesale, but it began under Nixon Kissinger. It was Kissinger who I could blame for most of it rather than Bill Clinton. Henry Kissinger is the archetypical Metternich. He is the Metternich of our time, a man without a country who exists solely for his own advancement without any loyalty whatsoever to a nation, in my opinion. In fact, he was just on a show called Charlie Rose. I don't know who Charlie Rose is. I think he's in the flower business. But apparently it's a program that liberals seem to think is a very important show. And on this show with the rose grower named Charlie, Kissinger seemed to be glorifying and gloating over the rise of China. You got to listen to clip two.
This is a society with uninterrupted history of 4,000 years.
Right.
Let's just start it with 2,000 years when they became unified.
Yeah.
For 1,800 of these 2,000 years, they were the richest society in the world, the best organized society in the world. And they were only one gap of about 150 years where they fell apart.
See? So now he's a cheerleader for the China that he loves so well. Listen to clip four.
They will never be subordinate, and they shouldn't be subordinate. And as they are richer and stronger, they will insist on their views more. That's unavoidable.
So there's Henry Kissinger, ambassador for China, holding a U.S. passport. I'll be right back.
President Obama, you've covered the broad scope of this relationship, but I'd like to follow up specifically on your comments about human rights. Can you explain to the American people how the United States can be so allied with a country that is known for treating its people so poorly, for using censorship and force to repress its people? Do you have any confidence that as a result of this visit that will change?
China has a different political system than we do.
Can you believe what he just said? Did you hear his answer? That's like saying the Nazis have a different view of the Jews than we do. That's some leadership. Somebody wrote to the New York Post regarding a picture of who and he. He would be Obama. Who and he? And they said, who's the better liar? The dude with the glasses saying China plans to respect human rights in the future? Or the other guy next to him saying his new health care plan won't cost an extra penny to those already paying? Yeah, that says about most of it. Mike in Florida, you're up. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hey, Mike. I'm not really afraid of China too much, mainly because they have the largest Christian population in the world, and I think eventually they'll have political changes, eventually.
So you think all Christians are to be trusted and all Christians are benign?
No, I think there are some that aren't, so.
But why would you assume that Chinese who are Christian are not also nationalistic and Chinese first, or they don't have a China first policy? What makes you assume their religion will supersede their religion? Their religion will supersede their nationalism, rather.
Well, I just think eventually it will, because, I mean, any time that Christianity has been suppressed, it has actually flourished over the course of history. So
you seem to have a glowing view of the Christian faith and of people who wear a cross, that somehow they're going to do the right thing just because they're Christians. It's a nice idea, but I mean, I don't want to bring you down to reality. I can give you a few examples of several nations that are predominantly and have been predominantly Christian that don't have a wonderful track record.
Okay. I mean.
Okay, thanks. You see, but look, there are people who want to believe that things will be all well. I'm not so sure that a country that lies, cheats, and steals as a way of life, that works with the Islamists to undermine us, that is triangulating America at every turn, whether it be through the Panama Canal or the Long Beach Naval Shipyard or Los Alamos. I mean, how many different things do we have to talk about? This didn't just start yesterday. As I said to you, it started, as far as we know, it started with Nixon. It started with Nixon and Kissinger. Kissinger gives me the chills. Kissinger is the ultimate internationalist. Kissinger is the ultimate man without a country. Kissinger is the man who has no loyalty to any nation. Kissinger is the man who, through the ages, has been the internationalist. You got to listen to this guy. You have to listen to this. Listen to clip four again.
They will never be subordinate, and they shouldn't be subordinate. And as they are richer and stronger, they will insist on their views more. That's unavoidable.
Now, again, that's it's an amoral statement. This is the same Henry Kissinger who was just found out during his tenure in the Nixon White House when the issue of Russian Jews was brought up. He said something about even if we found them being led to gas chambers, we wouldn't go to war with Russia. And he said, no, there's no reason to go to war with Russia over a few Jews or something to that effect. Now, remember, this is a man who escaped Nazi Germany. Now he finds himself on Easy Street, feted by people since Rockefeller forward, and suddenly the man is amoral, in my opinion. No morality whatsoever, no center, no core, no sense of right or wrong. It's only a sense of power. This is a man who worships power. This is a man who thinks that power, absolute power, is beautiful. Now, what worries me is what Obama said rather than what this Kissinger said. And that is, and I don't know how this reporter, God bless him, asked the question, just play Obama's piece in clip piece with Obama answering, not for the entire piece itself, where Obama says they have a different style of government. That's his answer to the human rights abuses. All right? 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
President Obama, you've covered the broad scope of this relationship, but I'd like to follow up specifically on your comments about human rights. Can you explain to the American people how the United States can be so allied with a country that is known for treating its people so poorly, for using censorship and force to repress its people? Do you have any confidence that as a result of this visit that will change?
China has a different political system than we do.
China has a different political system than we do. That's his answer. President Roosevelt, how can you do business with Germany when Jews and dissidents are being put into gas chambers? Answer, Germany has a different political system than we do. Next question. Did you hear the answer to that question? Do you understand that we have a president who is in a class by himself? Let's put it to you that way. Now, let me start at the top. I'm not xenophobic. But on the other hand, this rush to be so xenophilic, which we hear coming out of the White House, the business community, and the media, is quite frightening. Many of us don't feel that being so xenophilic is the appropriate response to a China that is not only eating us alive economically because of the quislings within our own government and business community, because I have called for tariffs on Chinese goods of 20% in trickle-up poverty. Donald Trump, who is allegedly a very wealthy man and wealthier than I am, says that I'm absolutely right. He says 20% is the right number. Now, for those of you who are ignorant of business, and many of you don't even understand how business works, but you have opinions on it, and that's good because all people are entitled to their opinion, let me give you some facts. If you are an American manufacturer of candy and you want to ship candy to Mexico, you don't know it, but you have to transship your goods when they arrive in Mexico to pallets that are provided by Mexico, which is a form of a tariff. You're then paying hidden tariffs in other in other ways as well, such as having to use Mexican trucks, which are much more expensive than U.S. trucks. So we're paying tariffs as U.S. manufacturers everywhere in the world, and yet we're not charging tariffs because we have quisling liar, traitors in the government and in the business community who lie to you with the big lie about free trade. It's not free trade. This is not free trade. They have free trade. We don't have free trade, which is why we have unemployment, massive social unrest, and why we're dying as a nation. And unless we vote the bums out, we're finished as a nation. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. Unless there is a massive change in the thinking within the government, within the business community, but primarily within the minds of the people, we are finished as a nation. You just follow the trajectory of what we are doing in this country now with regard to China, with regard to every other nation on this earth, and we don't exist within a certain period of time. Well, I don't mean we go off the map. Portugal still exists. You know, when I first started in radio in 1994, I was on a local station, and I've always been very nationalistic because I'm still a Boy Scout. And I said that America is becoming much like Portugal, once a world leader, and eventually it will be of no significance whatsoever. And I said Portugal still exists, but it's of no import in the world. Well, the local newspapers laughed at me and said, Savage said America's going to be like Portugal. Of course, I was right. The question is, can we stop this sweep of history with so many in the government and in the media and in the business community so intent on cashing out for the short term without looking to the long term? Now, let me pause right here because this is a good segue to something I want to get to. When have you last seen me on television? Can anyone listening to this show tell me the last time you saw me on Fox News? Can anyone listening to this show tell me when you last read about me in a major newspaper? The question is why? I mean, there are other so-called conservative talk show hosts who are seen and heard, but not me. Why is that? Is it possible because the others are wrapped within corporations that have deep business ties in China and elsewhere, and they toe the party line? They're told, okay, you could put on a little act of being patriotic, but don't go too far, wall banger. Don't go too far, blackboard, or else we'll lose our deal in China. Is that possible? I have an article in my hand. I can't read you the whole thing. It's on michaelsavage.com. Why the blackballing of Michael Savage? ? By Coach Dave Daubenmeer. And I had not heard of the gentleman, but you may remember him. Coach Dave Daubenmeer is the founder and president of Past Assault Ministries and Minutemen United, very important organization, and he has a small radio show. In 1999, the coach was sued by the ACLU for praying with his teams while coaching high school in Ohio. He now spends his energy fighting for Christian principles in the public domain. So he wrote the article entitled, Why the Blackballing of Michael Savage? And he says, I'm a talk radio addict. I don't know how it happened to me or why, but there's something about the art that really sucks me in. He says, my favorite, if there is such a thing, is Michael Savage. Out of all the voices flying through the air, his is the one that seems to be most independent. Don't get me wrong, he says, I know that all of them are controlled to a certain degree, but Dr. Savage is the one who I think I can most trust to call him like he sees him. Well, let me correct you, Coach. I'm not controlled at all. Other than the dirty words or disparaging people we do business with or advertisers, which I would never do anyway, I am totally free to tell you as I call him like I see him. So make no mistake about it. He then goes on and he says, here's a list of America's top-rated talkers. All of them are conservative and are instrumental in shaping the thought process of millions of Americans. And he goes through the usual list. And he says, they all have TV, wait a minute, he goes down the list, and then he says, Republican good, Democrat bad, liberal bad, conservative good. He says, the Savage Nation is the fourth largest show. I believe it's the third, actually. Then he asks, can anyone tell me the last time you saw Michael Savage on any television show? And he said, radio hosts love to cross-pollinate. Wallbanger loves to share the opinions of others in radio. Laura Ingraham has a regular gig with Bill O'Reilly, often guest hosting for Bill. And then he names others who are on all of the time. And he says, why is it Dr. Savage seems to be so persona non grata in the controlled conservative media? Could it be that most of those listed above are nothing but political hacks, propaganda arms of the Republican Party, and that there are those in authority who do not appreciate how Savage so willingly undresses both sides of the political charade. And then he goes through a little bit more. But he says, why is Savage so blatantly blackballed from the conservative talk show club? According to Talkers Mag, Savage has a regular listening audience of over 8 million people a week. Yet no one would recognize him if you passed him on the street. Why is it that a show this popular gets so little exposure in so-called conservative circles? Why has Michael Savage been banished to the conservative closet? Michael Savage is a real doctor, real PhD, that is. While neither Limbaugh, Hannity, nor Beck have a college degree, Dr. Savage has an earned PhD from the University of California at Berkeley in epidemiology and nutrition science. He's written 28 books, four of which have made the New York Times bestsellers list. His latest work, Trickle Up Poverty, is currently burning up the printing presses, and his program is carried by about 300 stations around the country. Tell me again, when was the last time you saw Savage on Fox News? Now, I'm going to scan some of the things he says. He has no sacred cows. He made enemies in 2006 when he accused the Catholic Church of violating the law by giving assistance to illegal immigrants. He's talking about me. His theme of borders, language, and culture has served as a rallying call for the millions who tune in nightly. Well, let's see. There's a big one here. It was Savage who first informed America and ultimately led the fight to keep President Bush from turning control of our ports over to Dubai. His brief show on fascist MSNBC in 2003 was canceled after Savage was set up and sabotaged by a caller. So why have they banned him from the conservative boys' club, he asks. And now here's an important part, I believe. The Savage Nation has a deep spiritual side to it. Unlike any other talk show host in America, Dr. Savage regularly reads aloud from the Bible. Although he keeps his personal religious beliefs to himself, he uses the Holy Scriptures as a warning to America of the consequences of our continued disobedience to God's laws. He certainly is not an evangelical Christian, but his call for our allegiance to the laws of nature and of nature's God reflects a greater spiritual depth than any of America's top talkers. Limbaugh refers to talent on loan from God. Wallbanger loves to quote John 14:1, but neither appear to have real understanding of the things of the Spirit, while Blackboard is a Mormon who loves to talk about God and our need to find our own path. So he says, what's going on? Why is Savage blacklisted? Perhaps it's because Savage still continues to push back against the darlings of republicanism and often exposes that those in the government all receive their minor league training at Goldman Sachs. And then he goes on and on and on and on and on. And I'll conclude here. Savage is as conservative as they come. He often warns his listeners to beware of the government media complex. Could it be that his opposition to status quo government and his independent streak are a threat to those who are guardians of the conservative movement? Is that why Michael Savage is being blacklisted? Thanks, Dave Dabenmeyer. I really appreciate it. I don't need you to comment on this. I'd rather stick to what we were talking about, which is the China issue. And most eerily, I have to play for you again a few sound bites. Let's listen to clip 5 now of Mr. Obama.
We want to sell you all kinds of stuff. We want to sell you planes. We want to sell you cars. We want to sell you software. And as President Hu and his government refocuses the economy on expanding domestic demand, that offers opportunities for U.S. businesses, which ultimately translates into U.S. jobs.
Well, unfortunately, he's wrong, whether he knows so or not, and I believe he does know better. He's the President of the United States. He's the most powerful man in the world. And he knows that if we sell them an airplane, they don't just buy the airplane. They want the technology to build their own version of that airplane. China is a copycat nation. They don't just get the airplane, they get the blueprints. They get the metallurgy. They get the electronic technology. But you wouldn't know that from the president, would you? I can give you example after example. We read that there's a nuclear cooperation agreement emerging between Obama and Hu that they worked out at a private dinner, and we don't know whether they ate carrot sticks and ice cream or something else. But we do know this. They worked out, they said, a sharing of nuclear technology. What does that mean? Does anyone know what that means? Does that mean that Obama just gave away the last vestiges of support that we have for our own self-defense? Would you even know this? I'll be right back.
Savage.
is in the air. And again, it's easy for the people in the government media complex who are pro-China and pro-business to say that tariffs won't work. It's the mark of a fool to think that tariffs will work. It'll result in a trade war. This is all double talk. We are paying tariffs if we're manufacturers in America. Wherever we sell, we're paying tariffs going into those countries. The only a nation where there are no tariffs that I know of is the United States of America. And that is because either the business community or the government itself is so riddled with salesmen, I don't know how else to put it, that the people don't even know what's going on. Okay, I told you, if you export goods out of the U.S., you're paying tariffs when those goods arrive in the foreign country. But yet when they sell to us, they don't pay any tariffs, no add-ons, no nothing. That's why we are why we have so many jobless. Then you figure out that over a million jobs were taken by illegal aliens in construction and other areas. And now you understand why we have such social upheaval in the United States of America. It's because we have either total incompetence. I mean, you could look at it that way. It's just a snowballing effect that's resulted in this. But the fact is that there's more to it than that. There are outright traitors or men without countries who care less about the health of the nation. And then there are people like us in talk radio, or shall I say myself, who are still Boy Scouts, who feel that we must save America at all costs, that it must be America first, not America last, that we must stop thinking about what the other guy thinks and make them start thinking about what we think. I am so sick and tired of hearing from Kissinger about how great China is. They'll never be subordinate. They shouldn't be subordinate. They're going to insist on their views. It's unavoidable. He is nothing but a quisling, in my opinion. And it's time to fix this. America first, not America last. Alan, New York, WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. This is Al from Butler, New Jersey. But listen, I got to tell you, about 5 years ago, I ran into Steve Doocy in a parking lot. And he's a pleasant guy.
Wait, but who is he? I don't know who he is. Who's Steve Doocy?
He's Fox and Friends.
Okay.
He's on Fox
and
Friends.
Right.
Steve, I said, why don't you have Michael Savage on your show? His excuse was, well, he's on the West Coast and we're on the East Coast and I don't know. And I said, but Steve, he's the most, one of the most listened to talk shows on the radio. He wouldn't
Al, don't you understand it's beyond him? He's probably a very nice guy. They don't have the ultimate say over what happens there, nor do I care. Al, I'm not the issue anymore. I'm at a certain mature phase of my career where it doesn't matter to me what show I'm on. You understand it's about, the issue is not whether I'm on or not. The issue is why I'm not on. You understand? It's not that I want to be on the show. It wouldn't do anything for my life. I'd only have to put on a suit and tie and go sit in front of a camera with makeup. So I don't even like to do that, Al. But the point is, there's a reason that they have unknown talk show hosts, radio host John Schmendrick that you never heard of. You never see me, right?
You know, Michael, I didn't catch that last thing you said, but, I can't believe that that Obama had a secret meeting with our enemy. I call China the enemy. And actually said he was going to exchange nuclear technology with these people?
Yes, that's right. He struck a sharing of nuclear technology with China without any description to the American people or Congress what he means by that. It was like a vague story about the sharing of the ability to detect nuclear material or something. I have no idea what he's talking about. But I can guarantee you the Chinese learned something they didn't know, and we learned nothing that we needed to know. That I can guarantee you without being there. Okay? We got Alfred E. Newman in the White House. We've got a communist Alfred E. Newman in the White House. Did you grow up reading Mad Comics? That's what we have in the White House. This anymore. Slightly jet-lagged from the flight. 6.5 hours in a plane with dogs. It was awful. But I don't like going back and forth. It's terrible. It may be the last trip I ever take in my life in an airplane. I think I'm making a new rule in my life. I've said this 10 years ago. You talk about technology. I don't like flying anywhere. I don't mean to get too personal now, comedic in the political arena, but I know it's partly that. I don't like flying. I haven't liked flying since I'm 18 years old. I like something underneath me. I mean, I love talking to the pilots when we were landing. I sat there in the cabin. The guy said, sit in the seat, and we watched the runway. What skill it takes, my God, to put that thing down on that center line. It's amazing. You're flying about 40,000 feet. You're out 8 miles in the air for all these hours, 8 miles in the air for 6 hours. you try to read a book. It's so unnatural. You know, if you're a sensitive person, you actually focus on what you're doing in an airplane. It's terrifying. It really is amazing. We take it for granted because we're able to push it out of our heads. You know what I mean? And Teddy was so good, he didn't pee in the airplane, nothing. He holds it. How does he know? How does he can do that for 6.5 hours? He sets himself up in his mind like he knows like the timing. Like he gets ready about 1/2 hour out. He starts walking around. And then he can't wait to get off on the runway, and we run over to the grass. It was a lot of fun. I am so glad to be back in San Francisco. I really am. The weather is gorgeous. It's sunny. It's cool. It's warm. The air is clean. There's no humidity. And the people, look, the people are what they are here. You know what? We all live in our own bubbles anyway. If I want to socialize, I'll go to Florida, and I'll go to Mar-a-Lago and speak to the people in Florida. If I need to socialize, I'll go there once a year. Because out here, there's no socialization. Everyone is so frightened to say what they think that they may as well be zomboid. Never mind rhomboid. They're just zomboid. All they do is look at their clocks to see how much they've run that day. So you want to continue to talk about China? You want to talk about Hank Kissinger? He gives me the creeps. Henry Kissinger is the ultimate man without a country. He's very brilliant. He's a Metternich of our time. But look where Metternich led the world.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
To welcome President Hu to the White House and to return the hospitality that he showed when I visited China last year. This is our 8th meeting. Together we've shown that the United States and China, when we cooperate, can
receive. You give them and you get nothing in return. All right, we heard it all before. They take and give nothing back. They copy, cheat, and steal. And, of course, we're supposed to look the other way because we're told to think a certain way. And, I mean, you could tell jokes about it, such as, who's arrived? That's right, who's arrived? That's what I just said, who's arrived? Yes, who's arrived? I just asked you, who's arrived? Yes, who's arrived? When did who arrive? I just said, did who arrive? Yes, who's arrived? I just asked you, did who arrive? Yes, who's arrived? Has who arrived? I just said, who's arrived? Well, has who arrived or not? Yes, who has arrived? But, you know, we can joke about it all day long. The fact of the matter is they're certainly a world power. We know that since they set off their first hydrogen bomb with a little help from their Russian friends, who had a little help from the Rosenbergs, our own domestic spies back in the 1950s. The Rosenbergs stole atomic secrets and shared them with Communist Russia. Communist Russia shared them with Communist China. You have to understand the lineage and the DNA of China in the modern times. But there's another story that's making the rounds that I think is worth talking about. Eric Holder, the questionable, controversial attorney general, is glowing over the arrest of 100 U.S. mobsters. They say it's the largest mafia roundup in history. U.S. Attorney Eric Holder. Play it up a little louder, please. So you get laying out the background. More than 100 mobsters arrested in the largest mafia roundup in U.S. history. U.S. Attorney Eric Holder. Now, no one listening to this show glorifies crime, nor should we. But a certain question rises to the surface with Eric Holder and the arrest of 100 U.S. mobsters. All of them are Italian, are of Italian descent. And yet we know for a fact that not all mobsters are of Italian descent. For example, why were there no arrests of Asian gangsters? Why were there no arrests of Mexican mafia in the United States of America? Why is it that we read that the FBI focused on 110 organized crime figures in the New York area in sweeping action focused primarily on the Colombo and Gambino crime families? Why is there no mention of the individuals with tattoos on their necks and ears that are ranging across America with machine guns that the cops are even afraid to look at? Why is there no talk about any Asian gangsters in the United States of America and being raided by the FBI? Why is it, again, that we're hearing names such as Jojo Carrazzo or Bartolomeo Vernacci? Or why is it Thomas Lafrati or Menaccio? And it's not, I'm not saying these are wonderful people, nor am I saying they shouldn't have been arrested. The only question I'm asking is, why is it limited only to the United States Mafia? Why is it? I don't understand this. Why is this going on? And I'd like to know why Holder doesn't use the same tactics in the hoods of America to bring down all the gangbangers. What's wrong with that? Would that be considered profiling? How about that? Am I asking an inappropriate question? The fact of the matter is, nobody glorifies what gangsters do. It's a terrible situation. But once again, why is there no talk of the arrest of these other gangs in the United States of America, whether they be inner city gangs, or, as I say, the illegal alien mafia gangs, or the Asian gangs? We all know they exist. I'm not just saying something you never heard of. The answer is pretty clear, and it's a frightening answer in its own way. This is a myopic administration on every level and in every department. Stockton, California, Ed, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael. I'd ask one more question. Why weren't there any arrests made in Chicago?
You know, you mean of any gangsters, only New York?
Yes. Why wasn't Chicago included in any of this?
Well, because Rahm Emanuel likes deep dish pizza. You don't want to knock out the pizzerias.
Say it's Obama's associates and Eric Holder's backyard. That's why. And they're making sure they're eliminating competition.
Is that what it is?
I would think. But I agree with you.
Do you find it odd that on the eve of the arrival of the biggest gang in the world, the Chinese Communist Gang, I mean, shall I put it in those terms? There's no freedom of expression in China. There's no dissidents allowed. There's no freedom at all. It's just the freedom to build and buy. How is it that there's a discussion? Why is this arrest occurring on the eve of the arrival of who? Who fundamentally is a gang leader? Is that an inappropriate comment? Do you feel that that'll put back U.S.-China relations to say a thing like that? Well, I know it'll answer that question. Virginia, Derek, Dedrick, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, I think, you know, it's because the mafia itself is on decline. You know, they have to get informants, they have to get evidence from certain people, and the Latin gangs and the other gangs are just a little more tightly run right now.
Okay, that makes sense. In other words, it's all based upon turncoats and rats. Is that it?
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, someone from inside has to give up everyone else. And I think just right.
I mean, I watch enough gangster movies to say I agree with you. But this is sort of a strange story because, you know, they're glorifying the arrest of basically old line Italian family, gangster families, so to speak. And you're saying it's all because they've gotten soft, really, is what you're implying, that their discipline is gone.
I really think they've soft. And be honest, in black gangs and Latin gangs, there's not this sense of love and loyalty. Everyone is completely expendable.
Well, I'm sorry, everybody's completely what, Diedrich?
Expendable. They can be let go with no heart at all.
No, I don't know. What you're saying is, what if they so much as give up any one of their secret knowledge? It's their whole family gets wiped out. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you look at the crime rates in certain communities, I mean, all these drive-bys are not happening just by happenstance. I mean, something is causing them. They really want to kill these people for a reason. And sometimes it's founded, sometimes it's unfounded, but the lack of respect of life is, I think, is looked at differently.
Well, I think you make a very good point, Diedrich. And there's nothing that we, the civilians sitting on the outside, can say other than why now would Eric Holder do such an arrest of 100 U.S. mobsters, saying it's the largest mafia roundup in history? That's the question that we're all raising. I mean, no one has sympathy for organized crime, but the question is, why is it so highly focused on the Italians rather than the other gangs that have emerged in the United States? I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
That's right.
And I think you came up with the answer. Is because they ratted each other out. That's why. All right, that's an interesting call. Chicago, Chris, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, when I saw Holder on TV with his chest sticking out as if he's done something, it angered me to see him bring in 100-year-old wise guys in oxygen tanks. Meanwhile, imams are spewing hate from mosques. Gangbangers are walking the streets shooting civilians. I'm not going to defend organized crime at all, but one thing I will say is their neighborhoods, back in the days, I don't know about now, but they kept it clean. You can walk your kids down the street. They kept their crime within the family. It wasn't going out shooting a grandmother or, like in San Francisco, a husband and wife in front of a theater in a drive shooting.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. There's a lot of people who have very mixed feelings about this story, which is why I raised it to begin with. I grew up in New York City in a certain time when you could go down Mulberry Street and leave your car unlocked during Christmas with presents in the back seat, and nobody would rob the presents out of the car. And everybody knew why, because the streets were protected, let us say, by street patrols of a certain kind. Yep, it's a different world. I understand that. I worry more about gangs from other countries than I do about homemade American gangs for some strange reason. All right, so let's get back to good old xenophobia here and talk about the xenophobia of China. Do you fear China will enslave the U.S.? And who do you blame most for China's stealing, copying, and cheating that is going on right now? Again, I must play the Metternich of our time. You know, I've been calling Kissinger the Metternich of our time. I don't know whether I read this 30 or 40 years ago. I don't even remember, but I just looked it up, and it turns out that once again my inner mind was correct, because Henry Kissinger wrote his PhD dissertation about none other than Metternich. And I want you to now listen to clip two on the Savage Nation.
This is a society with uninterrupted history of 4,000 years.
Right.
Let's just start it with 2,000 years when they became unified.
Okay.
For 1,800 of the 2,000 years, they were the richest society in the world, the best organized society in the world. And there were only one gap of about 150 years where they fell apart.
Now, he's telling you a half-truth, Kissinger. And dialect, you think he's smarter than he actually is. He's calculating and he's shrewd, but he's really lying to you. We're not talking against China. We're not talking against the Chinese people. We are terrified of a Chinese communist government, which is an absolutely totalitarian government. And if you look back on the history of China in the millennia that Kissinger is reflecting, they were not a communist Chinese government. Do you understand what I am saying to you? This is the biggest point of the day. Let's go back 1,000 years. I know a little bit about this, not a lot. Okay, 1,000 years ago, China was leading the world in commerce. They were running 6-masted sailing ships when we still had 1 or 2-masted sailing ships. And I can give you other technological advances that China had experienced. But then something happened in China in a short period of time. Within a less than 100-year period, it all collapsed. And it was a result. I'm giving you a broad sweeping picture. Perhaps there's a China expert who will criticize my analysis and make it a little more clear to the listener. There arose in China a bureaucratic class known as the Mandarins. We popularly know of them as the people with long fingernails who would not do any manual work. And this small group of Mandarins, these bureaucrats, I believe it was 40,000 of them, controlled something like 40 million Chinese. And they passed one restrictive law after another in China. In other words, they started to conduct themselves the way the American bureaucrats in this government are conducting themselves. Red tape and laws. So you look down the street in my neighborhood, You see a little house going up. The builder's not going to make a lot of money. All of a sudden, the county stopped him from building the house because he violated some law that he didn't even know about. It's going to tie him up probably for a month till he gets another permit from another one of these socialist communist losers, and then he'll continue with his house. They are the mandarins of our time. They are crippling us. As I said to you, you name any governmental department, such as the EEOC. If I eliminated the EEOC tomorrow, American business would be freer than it's been in about 30 or 40 years. And the fact is that there is a direct parallel in what I'm saying to the collapse of China of 1,000 years ago to what is going on in America today. Certainly it's not a direct comparison, but the rising of this bureaucratic class in ancient China, the mandarins, and their laws and regulations and controls sapped all of the vital energy of the Chinese people and destroyed the commercial enterprises of the time, and China eventually went into decline. China was not a communist nation at the time. It was destroyed from within through an overly heavy bureaucracy, okay? That's one parallel with our time here in America. But then for Kissinger to say that they're a 4,000-year-old civilization, which is true, and they were unified and this and that, that's true. And now he doesn't say the most important thing, which is that the Chinese Communist Party only originated in the late 1940s and 1950s when they had been infected with Marxism. Again, a parallel with the Marxist and the Marxism in the United States of America under Barack Obama, as I spell out in Trickle Up Poverty. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You're witnessing, I mean, living history. We're seeing the ascent of one civilization and the descent of another. And of course, we are the other. And we are not in the ascent. And there's so much we can talk about. I'm not an expert on China, but I know a little bit about history. And I also know that the bureaucratic state was a very successful management situation for the Chinese. But it was the advent of the communist state of China, largely in the late 30s, 40s, and 50s, in which they copied from Russia, that brought about this totalitarianism that we're facing today. If the Chinese people are an interesting, intelligent people, obviously, very energetic and a very intelligent people, and also very capitalistic at the core. But the government, which Obama says is different than ours, is indeed different than ours because they have no freedom whatsoever. They are a dictatorship. And for our president to gloss over this difference of government as though it's simply a matter of style rather than substance is a double outrage. Greg in Wisconsin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Mr. Savage. Before I refute your premises on China, I'd like to say that you're almost accusing Henry Kissinger as being part of the Mishpachna.
But I don't wait. Part of the who?
The Mishpachna, the Jewish mafia.
Well, wait a minute. I didn't use that phrase. You did. I didn't even know it existed.
Okay. Well, there you go. But regarding China,
well, what do you mean? There I go. You're the one who just said Henry Kissinger is being accused of being part of a Jewish mafia. Those are your words, not mine.
Well, yes, sir. It just seems like you're kind of applying that. You're kind of being hard on the guy. You know, I mean, you're making a assertion.
Being hard on the guy? The guy is a man without a country. The man clearly has made a fortune on his dealings and double dealings with China. And he speaks of China in such glowing terms that I would think that you yourself as a great Democrat should be alarmed. Stay on the line, Greg. I'd like to hear your opinion.
Savage.
They will never be subordinate, and they shouldn't be subordinate. And as they are richer and stronger, they will insist on their views more. That's unavoidable.
So I'm positing that Henry Kissinger is basically a man without loyalty to America, and he seems to me to be a man without a country. More than that, I would say that he seems to be more in favor of the Chinese ascent than he is in rescuing America from our descent. That is my premise. And Greg in Wisconsin has taken umbrage with that position. I'd like to give him the microphone right now. Greg, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
I appreciate it, sir. My first thought on this is you're an educated man, so you have to believe in Darwinian evolution. Politics consists of men and their ideas. So China taking over the world, the death camps, all these things are just a process of natural selection. So if you are an educated man and you believe in Darwinian evolution, so then why wouldn't you just have it consistently take its course? And the second thing is, you make...
Hold on. I don't know what you're... Are you asking me or telling me that I should accept death camps and that I should accept communism in America? Isn't that what you're implying, that I should accept communism arriving in America?
That is the logical consistency of Darwinian evolution, which you embrace, and which is education. Yes.
What? You're now jumping and telling me I embrace it?
Yeah, don't you? I mean, you study naturalism. I'm assuming you went to college. You have a PhD. So, I mean, it's just like 1, 2, 3.
But why must you assume that you know what I think? How can you make such an assumption?
Well, because...
So if you and I were alive in 1939, we should accept that Germany was on the ascent and we shouldn't fight Hitler because he was so powerful and his military was so superior to ours and we shouldn't even fight him?
Well, education today is described as those who believe in certain tenets. And one of those...
Well, you're not answering the question. I'm trying to put this in context so you and I can have a reasonable discussion. If you were to look at the landscape of the world in 1939 and you look at the Panzer tank compared to the American tank, it was so superior in so many ways. The German Navy was superior to our Navy. The Messerschmitt was superior to anything we had. So if we took your worldview at that time, we just should have accepted the natural selection of the Nazis. Isn't that what you're saying?
No, absolutely not, because evolution is a struggle. So the struggle prevailed for the American side. If the struggle does not prevail for the American side this time with China, that's just the evolutionary...
But don't you think it's possible that we, the American people, can awaken from our slumber, shake off the pharmaceutical industry from our brains, kick out the bureaucrat traitors, and save ourselves from a dictatorship?
Well, that has to do with mental IQ, which I don't think the IQ status is as superior as it was 100 years ago. And I think that's just part of...
Well, but here's an interesting thing that you should know, Greg. The Germans at the time, especially the Nazis at the time, by what I have read, disavowed the American fighting man, saying he's soft, he's weak, he goes to the movies, he eats hot dogs and ice cream, he's not going to fight. The Japanese spit on the American soldier. They said they would never fight. You know all of that, don't you?
Yes.
But yet, when it came right down to it, the American fighting spirit prevailed. The dormant American fighting spirit arose from the ashes, and I say it can rise again. The thing we must do is awaken the consciousness of the people to what the traitors in our government and our media and our business communities have done to us with the big lie called free trade. Let's boil it down. You and I both know that this is not free trade. Would you agree with that?
Yes, but the problem is you're going against the theory of Darwinian evolution, which is the established foe of America. It's the established thought that is, if you're an educated man, Darwinian evolution should be part of your position. Are you just telling me, Mr. Savage, that you do not believe in...
You see, I don't know you're trying to play Clarence Darrow, but I don't quite know what your thesis is. What are you saying?
My thesis is that according to Darwinian evolution, as a first principle, if we take that as a first principle and we start there, the implications of that will follow. Death camps, China might rule the world, that there is no hope for mankind. It's just a biological flow of consistency. And if you're...
You're a pessimist and you think we should just all get ready to be ruled by the Red Star?
Well, you can still struggle. I mean, that's also part of natural selection, you would have to agree. But if that struggle does not prevail for our side, then so be it.
So you're arguing that would be okay?
I'm arguing that's the natural, since you study naturalism, that's the natural flow of Darwinian evolution.
That's assuming you know which way nature will flow. But if you actually do educate yourself to nature, you will find that it's not quite as even a flow as you suggest. There are times when the flow is unexpectedly changed dramatically for reasons we don't even understand. You know that as well. If you're an educated man, you can understand what I'm saying. There's no distinct order to the flow.
Right. But you do agree in Darwinian evolution, do you not, Mr. Savage?
Well, now you're trying to change the discussion to something else. Do I believe in Darwinian evolution? We're going to get off the track of China and social evolution. Why don't we focus instead on social evolution rather than Darwinian natural selection, and then we'll have maybe a better discussion. I'm of the opinion that we can still save America by putting in, let's talk Turkey here, put in a 20% tariff and tax China on their profits. What's wrong with that idea?
Well, that's another issue. You assert that there is something that's wrong without establishing what kind of wrong you're talking about. Now you're going in the realm of ethics. Are you talking about utilitarian ethics? Are you talking
about saving America. Stop. Look, you're double-talking yourself now because you're not making a very... I don't know what you're trying to get at. I think you're trying to sound very intelligent, and you may be, but you're not making a very good point. You started by saying, I'm accusing Kissinger of being a member of a group I never heard of, and that was a very intelligent word. Would you repeat it again?
Mishpachna, which is the Yiddish German for a Jewish mafia.
But how do you know of such a group? I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, I studied, you know, different things, the history of the mafia and so forth, and I came across Mishpachna. And the way you were talking about Mr. Kissinger, in a derogatory sense, he didn't come out and say that he was part of that, but it kind of sounded like you're kind of being hard on the
guy. Well, you've educated me to something I didn't know existed. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think he's a member of any such group. I think he's simply a man who is Machiavellian in the more generic sense of what that means. He's out for himself, and he has no loyalty to any nation. He seems to me to be an agent of China. In fact, the man is a registered foreign agent. Are you aware of that?
Yes, but I was speaking in the cloak.
Are you also aware that ex-Secretary of State under Bill Clinton, whatever her name was, that old Yenta, is also a registered foreign agent who lobbies on behalf of China's industries here in the United States?
I did not know that, no. But it's not
What's her name? I can never remember her name.
Joyce Myers. Is that who you're thinking of?
No. The one who made a fool of herself repeatedly. Albright. Madeleine Albright, who made a fool of herself repeatedly, is a registered foreign agent the last I checked.
But
Sandy Berger is a registered foreign agent. Sox. His firm, Hogan & Hartson, in Washington, the last I checked, was the single largest law firm that represented in business interests both ways. And so it's not limited to Henry Kissinger. The last I checked, if he's still living, and I don't know if it's true, Bob Dole was also a lobbyist for China.
At the end of the day, according to Darwinian evolution, if you can't beat them, join them. And I have no problem with that.
So you would like to live in a totalitarian state. You think, why do you suppose you would survive in such a state?
Well, survival is an interesting issue. You know, according to psychology, sexual instincts is part of that means of survival. And I don't know if I'm going to survive. So, but that doesn't mean that it's right or wrong.
Would it bother you if they arrested people in the future America ruled by a Chinese communist dictatorship under vassals such as Obama, if that's the case, where there would be no freedom of speech, no freedom of the press? Would that bother you at all?
Well, I'm not trying to you know, be complicating, but you're begging the issue by not defining your terms. And you know,
I'm defining my terms very clearly. I wouldn't exist in China. Let's be very clear. You wouldn't be able to call a radio show in China. Let's make it very simple. You have freedom of expression where you can get up and say whatever you want. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Well, I don't know what you mean by wonderful. In order to say something is wonderful or great or bad, you have to. Analyze that according to a normative or a standard, and you don't have a standard, so you can't say what's right or wrong. So let's just start with Darwin.
Well, I believe in liberty. Do you believe in liberty?
But why do you believe in liberty? What's your
Why do I believe in liberty? Because I don't want anyone telling me what to think or what to do or what to read or what not to read. Isn't that pretty clear?
And that's an opinion, and it's not biologically.
Well, come on now you're being absurd. You don't know what liberty is. Then what world are you living in?
Well, I'm trying to be consistent, and we may be opposed.
Well, but you're not being consistent. In your attempt to be consistent, you're actually being quite limited in what you're saying. You're not being consistent at all. You're arguing against liberty and saying we don't even know what liberty is.
Actually,
so you're starting to sound like George Orwell's writings where freedom is slavery. Is that what you're arguing? Freedom is slavery and war is peace and peace is war. Is that what you're arguing?
I'm arguing that you don't have an epistemology unless you compare it to a normative.
Throwing in another big word in order to obfuscate your own mind and make us think you're smarter than you actually are. What are you saying? You could live in a dictatorship as happily as you're living in this country?
not saying that at all. I'm just saying that's natural.
Well, let's start with the principles of democracy. Liberty, equality, fraternity. What does that mean? Where did it come from? Do you know?
Liberty? No, you tell me.
No. I'm not going to tell you. That makes it sound like you know all it, you know it, and you just want me to repeat it for you. But you don't know where that comes from. Liberté, equalité, fraternité. Does that help you?
John Locke helped originate some of these.
Oh, well, now you're switching. No, that was not John Locke. Liberty, equality, fraternity. Where did it come from?
The Constitution.
No, it came from the French Revolution. Liberty, equality, fraternity. So let's start with the two first words. What does the word liberty mean to you?
Well, the word liberty is a, I think it's a Latin word that denotes freedom. And freedom is a negation, meaning that you're free from slavery. So that's
okay. What does the word equality mean to you?
Which I don't believe we're all equal, and that's an interesting subject. But equal means that we're ontologically equal, but economically we're not, meaning that there's different ranks within society. So
is that a good thing or a bad thing? You think that a bum in the street should have the same amount of housing and clothing and et cetera that you have?
Well, you're using the word good and bad again, which without...
Wait a minute. Excuse me. You didn't hear me say good or bad. Should a bum in the street, who as a result either of bad genetics, bad parents, a bad blow, or the use of drugs, weak character, if you want to put it that way, winds up in the gutter, should he be given all of the good things that you enjoy?
That would depend on the natural flow of his life with his biology, which comes back...
In other words, you believe in communism?
Well, you'd have to define communism. You mean the communism...
Right, you know, you're going to drive us all crazy with your lack of understanding of what you're even saying. What is your political system, Greg? Which political system do you belong to?
Well, that's an interesting thing, too.
Everything is interesting to you. You can't answer a question. Everything is interesting, but you don't answer a question. Why is it so interesting that you can't answer a question? What's interesting to me is that we've talked for 10 straight minutes on a national radio show, and we still don't know where you're coming from.
The etymological term for politics...
Here we go again. Another word you read in a dictionary. Are you a communist or not?
I am not a communist, no. I am just trying to start consistently with the first principle to see where the natural selection flows in each human life, because politics...
So you would like to say that what, you're a natural selectionist?
I would like to say that if you apply an educated...
All right, that's enough already. I'm exhausted. I'll be right back. Savage. Extra, hear all about it. Chinese president makes first visit to Chicago. Mayor Richard Daley's long effort to build ties with the world's second largest economy seemed to pay off today as Chinese President Hu Jintao arrived for his first visit to Chicago, his only stop outside Washington during this trip. Well, you can read anything you want into that. Let's see. Chicago deserves some kudos. It's clear that he, Daley, has cultivated the China relationship. And he's learned how to do that very well, said Kenneth Lieberthal, director of the John L. Thornton China Center at the Brookings Institution. Brookings Institution, by the way, is a far-left front group. By the way, the liberals love China. You see, you don't understand what we've been saying to you. The liberals in America today are not really liberal. They are, you can use any phrase you want. They don't believe in democracy. They don't believe in the voice of the people. Witness their hatred of the Tea Party, their hatred of the town hall meetings prior to the Tea Party. They believe in a large, overbearing state government that dictates to the people what the people do and what the people should think. That's what we mean by political correctness. Many of you don't even know what the words mean. Political correctness comes out of the Communist Party. That is where people are told what is politically correct to think and to speak and to speak. If you do not speak correctly, if you do not think correctly, you are thrown out of the party. You are no longer a member of the Communist Party. This was true in the Nazi Party as well. That is what they mean by political correctness. Now, I, for one, have always been a rebel. I've always been a free thinker. I've always been someone who defied authority to a mild degree. I mean, if you take a person who defies authority to an unhealthy degree, they are a criminal. Now, this is an interesting question. What is a criminal? in our society, is it criminal to object to Obama? Is it criminal to call Obama a communist? Well, not yet, it isn't. But a few more years of these visits by Mr. Hu, and a few more cozy meetings with Daley of Chicago, and a few more laws that are passed by the FCC, and it will not be possible to criticize the president. It will be considered a violation of some edict or other put out by the FCC, perhaps the Fairness Doctrine itself, which, of course, is communistic at its core. So now I think you come to understand what we are talking about, the very business that I am in of speaking, as I see it, and writing, as I see it, is based upon liberty. Without liberty, there cannot be freedom of speech or freedom of the press. So let's start with the basics. Without liberty, there cannot be freedom of speech or freedom of the press, two of the principal tenets of our life in America. Okay. China has no freedom of the press nor freedom of speech. And yet our president, himself a lifetime Marxist slash Leninist, when challenged by a reporter, well, listen to this interchange for yourself again.
President Obama, you've covered the broad scope of this relationship, but I'd like to follow up specifically on your comments about human rights. Can you explain to the American people how the United States can be so allied with a country that is known for treating its people so poorly, for using censorship and force to repress its people? Do you have any confidence that as a result of this visit that will change?
China has a different political system than we do.
This is right out of the Manchurian Candidate. It's eerie to listen to this man. I never before felt that I was living with a Manchurian Candidate president. I mean, I read it. I didn't believe it. The picture on the Drudge Report of him looking terrified of who was one thing. But him answering in an almost mechanical way when challenged, China has a different political system than we do, is right out of the Manchurian Candidate. My friends, that is how I see it. It's one man's opinion. To just say they have a different political system than we do is, on the face of it, not a lie. But to say such a thing without saying how it differs from ours, which is that it differs from our political system at the core, meaning we are free and they are slaves. We have freedoms, they have no freedoms. The only freedoms they have is to do what the government tells them to do, which is to get and to spend. You can get and you can spend, but there is no freedom of speech and there's no freedom of the written word. Now, if you think that that's a system that's equal to ours and different than ours, and that it's rather equal to ours because it's only different than ours, and that we should have sympathy for it, then it's all over for the United States of America, and it's only a matter of time until you are arrested or I'm arrested for expressing our opinions. I, for one, am not willing to live in such a system. If you're willing to live in such a system, then, my friends, we must depart for good here on the radio show, because I'd rather that you not even call the program to argue with me. And yet there are writers for the New York Times, such as the idiot moron Thomas Friedman, who of course was given the Communist Nobel Prize, or shall I say Socialist Nobel Prize, simply for stating over and over again what is the obvious, which is that dictatorship is good, China is good, the system of an overly sized oppressive government is good because they can get things done, unlike our clunky democracy. This is the Savage Nation. Pay attention, because very soon you may not be able to pay anything but attention.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The big news today is the visit by the leader of China. Some would call him a dictator, rightly so, as Harry Reid did strangely enough, he called it like it was, and then he backtracked. But, yeah, well, he's a dictator. Well, let's start at the beginning. China State dinner menu. Steak, apple pie, and ice cream for Hu Jintao. Do I have to tell you that this is absurd for a first couple that tells you to eat carrot sticks? Let them eat carrot sticks, yet they serve steak and apple pie and ice cream to the president of China? I have nothing against steak. I have nothing against ice cream. It's not food for adults, though, especially adults who purport to be health conscious. This is a cardiotoxic meal that is something you'd expect from the 1950s. Let them eat carrot sticks, eh? Now, speaking of China, there are many ways in which China is humiliating us in the United States. Some are saying that globalists, such as Henry Kissinger and others, are using China as the vehicle through which to complete the total deindustrialization of a dying and decaying America. It's pretty frightening, isn't it? Hu Jintao comes to America, badmouths the U.S. dollar, blindsides our defense secretary with a stealth fighter that can fly rings around our own, and we're supposed to sit here and smile at him. Are we all myopic? King has no clothes? Well, this didn't start with Obama. It started with, I could say, Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon. There was a recent interview with Henry Kissinger on the Charlie Rose Show going back to January 19, 2001 that we have, where Kissinger literally becomes the spokesmouth for China. Now, of course, you realize he's one of the chief lobbyists for China right now, okay? In this interview, Kissinger argues that China will never be subordinate and China should not be subordinate. As they become richer and stronger, they will insist on their views more and more. That's unavoidable. That was from January 2011. And while Mr. Jintao is here, or is it Mr. Hu, Obama says to the Chinese, quote, we want to sell you all kinds of stuff. We want to sell you all kinds of stuff. Okay, great. Now, this is the first president who has offered a state dinner to a communist leader. Obama was asked if he has any confidence that human rights abuses in China will change after this trip. You know the answer, don't you? And we play the press conference over and over again. And as I say, even Harry Reid, Democrat Nevada, called Hu a dictator, and then he backtracked. You got to hear that sound. Nancy Pelosi, our own domestic dictator, says the people will end up liking health care reform. Let them eat health care reform. And then, strangely, yesterday during an open floor debate in Congress, Representative Steve Cohen, Democrat Tennessee, says that the Republicans and their attack on Obamacare are like Nazis. It's unbelievable to me. Well, on a lighter note, we have the Earls, a doo-wop group from the 50s, singing Michael Savage doo-wop. That's an interesting one. The big story, though, is the visit of the Chinese leader. You had to see the picture being circulated around the internet from the press conference given by Obama and the Chinese president, because in this picture, you see Obama peering at Hu from the background with an expression of abject terror or fear on his face, while Hu looks away in arrogance. This, to me, perfectly encapsulates the relationship between the United States and China at this moment in history. I'd like to direct you to my website, michaelsavage.com, for one article in particular. I know you're probably too busy to read the whole thing, but it was, the title is amazing, Why the Blackballing of Michael Savage, by Coach Dave Daubenmeyer. Why the Blackballing of Michael Savage? He begins by saying, he says, I'm a talk radio addict. He says, I don't know how it happened to me or why, but there's something about the art that really sucks me in. And then he talks about Michael Savage, and he can't understand why Michael Savage has never been seen on any television show. Why is it that Savage seems to be persona non grata in the controlled conservative media? And he goes on, I'm not going to read you the article right now. You read it for yourself. It's an amazingly well-written article, even though it's about me and I'm blowing my own horn. Believe me, it's really well done. Finally, I direct you, as usual, to my website, where I've collected, I think, some of the most important stories with my own headlines. On MichaelSavage.com, lead headline, Obama toasts China while they steal, copy, and cheat the United States. Next, the welfare tab for children of illegal aliens costs Los Angeles County $600 million a year. Can you believe this? Yeah, well, you better believe it. Mafia bust nets more than 100 members of organized crime. House overturns Obamacare. Ho-hum. Also on MichaelSavage.com, go to the bottom and work your way up. You could actually, if you're not in the mood for news, download the Earl singing a Michael Savage doo-wop. And finally, for those of you who are not so drugged up that you don't see what's going on, take a look at MTV's new child pornography. That's it on MichaelSavage.com.
Savage.
Turns. He who is low is now high, and he who is high is now low. It's an old Bob Dylan song. Remember that one, Beowulf? And of course, I'm referring to China has turned the tables on us, and they've only begun to show their power. The dragon has only begun to show what they're capable of. And the freedoms that we are enjoying now will be, perhaps, unless a miracle occurs, let me put it in a way that doesn't alarm millions of people. The freedoms that we currently enjoy 10 years from now could be, let us say, a thing of the past. Unless we get rid of the Quislings who have run us off the rails as a free nation. And when I say get rid of, you know I mean the ballot box. Don't twist my words. Don't play your little liberal games with me. We had 100 of them thrown out of office in October. You wouldn't know it. In November, you wouldn't know it because of the McClatchy and the Scripps and the others in the government media complex. 100 of the bums were thrown out, and it's still business as usual. But none of this seems to, it's not gripping you. I can sense it. Right now I'm more concerned with the weather. Because here we snow again, according to weather.com. As one system exits, a new winter storm will take a cross-country ride, pummeling the snow-weary northeast. So the snowbirds will take another flight down to Miami or point south. You're going to get it very soon again. It's been horrible on the West Coast. Fog and cold. I mean, I like the cold, not the fog. I hate the fog. You know, once in a while it's romantic. You play the Green Hornet with the collar and the hat. But day in and day out and no sun, it can get to you. I don't know where to fly now. Where do I go to get out of here? I know you're saying, what does it have to do with China? Nothing. I'm just thinking out loud, like moving around. I don't take medication. I don't need it. I let my mind wander. If it wants to wander, it wanders. I don't, do you control your mind? Are you afraid of your mind? Are you afraid of your mind? I'm not afraid of my mind. Wherever my thoughts take me, I go with them, that's all. What are you so afraid of? Anyway, so I'm just rambling. I'm looking at the weather. Another northeast wintry mess. Winter storm warnings posted for northeast. Australia, new flood warnings. Death toll climbing from Brazil mudslides. Here we snow again. River wipes out road. Best time to travel, ski season, which started 2 months ago. And then I said, you don't ski anyway. What's the ski season? What do you think you are, Ernest Hemingway? You're going to go to, like, Sun Valley, Utah now? You're going to go skiing now? You're not going to go skiing. I'm going to talk myself into going back to go to Lake Tahoe again for the snow. I'll go through a whole 1 month of planning. I'll go up for one night to a hotel. I'll complain about it all night that there's too much smoke. There's too many crowds. The people in the room next to me are having too loud a sexual time, and I can't sleep. So I won't even go to the snow. That's why I'm not going to go anywhere. Do you look at the weather? Are you kind of obsessed with it? It's become a thing with this climate change. I look at the weather now. I go on my local newspaper. I click the weather, the 5 days. Well, I'm a boater, so I always want to see what the weekend's going to be. So what would you like to talk about? China, the weather, snow, Nashville. Snow in Nashville, that's amazing. Birmingham. So should we be frightened of China, or is it all hype? Remember what happened with 1980s Japan. Remember how we were all afraid of Japan? Remember that? We were told they would own the United States. And yet they've been stuck in a lost decade now ever since. I mean, maybe there is a silver lining here. I mean, I'm not so sure that China's going to be the great dragon who's going to eat us alive, frankly. I don't know what's going to happen. But I have faith that at the end of the day, the Yankees will, when I say Yankees, I collectively mean the American, is going to triumph. It doesn't mean that China isn't a major worry, okay? It's certainly moving up in the world, there's no question about that. But if we can get a more patriotic administration in power and straighten out the currency manipulation, get rid of the EPA regs in this country that are killing businesses, eliminate the EEOC, which I would do tomorrow. The worst thing in the history of America for business is the EEOC. Rein in tort lawyers, put them out of business, eliminate product liability claims entirely. They're all made up. And, of course, greatly, greatly draw back on workers' compensation claims, which are 90% fraudulent in my estimation. You can absolutely guarantee that America will thrive if we did that. And the fact of the matter is, ask yourself this. How much does the average worker in China make? Right? I don't really know the answer. I have no idea what they make right now. But in 2009, you talk about pollution. How come the loudmouth environmentalists don't ever talk about the pollution coming out of the coal-generated factories in China? In 2009, China emitted 50% more greenhouse gases than the United States, even though its economy is only one-third as large. Why doesn't Obama take Mr. Hu, if that's his name, Jintao, Mr. Jintao, why doesn't he tell Mr. Jintao to rein in some of the pollution, right? So how are we going to save our economy? I have my ways of doing it. We could do it. I've given you some great ideas just now on the Savage Nation, but who's listening to me? Who's listening to me, really? So I don't really know where this ends up, but I'm not so sure it ends up with us slaves of China. I think that the exaggerated fear and envy that is being generated about China is something that we should be more worried about in a way than them taking us over. They repress religion, yes. They murder protesters for every few years. They clean out the rising protest groups. They kill them. But the fact of the matter is, there's press censorship. They jail dissidents. There's no elections, by the way. Did you know that? New York Times didn't report that. No elections in China. Well, how it ends, I don't really know. Japan, remember, in the 80s. I remember very, very, very well what was going on. There were a whole slew of movies, for example, about how Japan would eat us alive. And then there was the transfer of technology to I remember there was Reagan was in power. And I was very concerned about the transfer of jet technology to Japan. I think it was the FSX technology went to Japan under Reagan. It was very worrisome. And what happened with Japan soon thereafter? Lost decade. It's actually been a lost 2 decades, frankly. The question this time is, when China finally hits a stone wall, or shall I say the Great Wall of China is finally met by China itself, what will happen then? Will they go to war, or will they turn in again? I don't really know. I really don't know, truthfully. I don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. Would you buy a car made in China? Do you actually believe a car made in China is going to be as good as a car made in America or Detroit or Tennessee or North Carolina? I don't believe so. They're not inventing cars in China. They're not advancing the technology of cars in China. All they're doing is copying us. All they're doing is copying our assembly lines, stealing our technology. I'm not so sure China is going to advance, you know, beyond us. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. I don't even want to talk about it. Why I Love My Strict Chinese Mom. This is a good article. Remember I read about why Chinese moms are superior on the show the other day? Well, now her daughter is in the paper. She's airbrushed. 18-year-old Sophia Chua Rubenfeld. What a combination. 18-year-old Sophia Chua Rubenfeld. So she's got a Chinese mom and a Jewish father. These children could take over the world. Is that a stereotype? I mean, this is amazing to me. Actually, I know a guy who's Jewish who married a Chinese woman, and they have a child. The child's beautiful. So I said to him, I said, Dave, it's very unusual for Jewish guys to marry Chinese women. He says, well, you know, I'm a guy who likes to hedge my bet. He said that to me. I swear to God. He said it was very funny. The teenager at the center of New York City's hottest controversy speaks out in defense of her mother. So this girl says, big deal. My mother was tough, so what? Look at me. Now Chua's eldest daughter, Sophia Chua Robenfeld, tells her side of the story already. Tiger mom. They're calling the mother already a tiger mom. I'm not interested already. I like the article, but the tiger mom already I could do without. Now it's turning it into a book promotion. Sophia Left and Lulu Wright were raised by parents Jeff and Amy in a strict household, blah, blah, blah. All right, big deal. Good luck to them all. I hope they do very well. I hope she sells a million books. It makes no difference to me. But you think a mother like that's so easy to live with, you're wrong. You know, would you rather have a mother that was that tough or a hysteric, who didn't know what was going on at all, that fainted every time you came home with a little blood on your head because you got hit in the head with a stickball bat or something? Yeah, that's also tough, by the way. What's tougher, a hysteric or a mother that makes you study hard? I mean, you know, what is it, easy being a person to begin with? Everyone has a tough mother one way or the other. No matter who the mother is, it's the toughest role in the world. It's different for the mothers and the fathers. I've come to understand that. We're nothing to men compared to the mothers. Look, I got the pillow today. It says anyone could be a father, but not everyone could be a dad. Okay, it's true, but being a mother's harder because they give birth. We don't know anything about that. Man, what do men know about giving birth? We can't even take pain. Women know how to bear pain. That's how they can live with men. And that's how they can put up with children today. Savage. All together. Joining us now on the Savage Nation for his exclusive update on the healthcare non-debate is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks again, Michael. Always good to be with you and the Savage Nation. And, you know, we would think that by now Obamacare would have died out of its own accord because of its unconstitutionality. We've talked about the fact that there have been lawsuits against it. One federal judge has declared it unconstitutional. Two others say it is constitutional. And the Republicans, now controlling Congress, at least the House side of things, did vote against it. So there are some things that may be of a positive nature that are happening, but yet you have people from within the House on the Democrat side still arguing that it must be constitutional. It has to be constitutional, like Democrat John Lewis saying the right to health care is in the preamble of the Constitution. Where did, you know, we came over from England, our forefathers, so that we could have free health care, which, as you know, and as your audience knows, is, you know, nothing is free in reality. And, of course, the free here comes with a high price. In fact, a pharmaceutical price. The monopoly gets stronger. The stranglehold on the limitations of the freedom to choose the health care that Americans believe is right for them is absolutely, utterly destroyed by Obamacare.
Exactly.
Yeah, John Lewis asked, you know, when asked about where to give the Constitution, gives Congress the authority to require people to purchase it, he says, well, he starts with the preamble, the pursuit of happiness. Oh, yes, that's right. We can't be happy without a governmental federal mandate to partake in a system of medicine that many Americans are now waking up to find is greatly dangerous, maybe more dangerous than the ailments that they're trying to undo. And in addition, Lewis said, well, the 14th Amendment, equal protection under the law. And since the 14th Amendment hasn't been repealed, of course, how you get equal protection by forcing people to all participate in a system that in some circles and in some peer-reviewed journals references modern medicine, honestly, as the third leading cause of death in America. We always mention this, but it bears repeating until it gets through. If you want a culture of life, you've got to acknowledge if even only 106,000 Americans, or more likely 225,000 Americans, are losing their lives to FDA-sanctioned medicines and drugs every year, you can't defend that as a system of health care unless you have an option to opt out.
Right, right, right.
So we may see some repeals of some semblance of it because we know Harry Reid is not going to, at least he's claiming it. His scary Harry Reid is sticking his fingers in his ears and covering his eyes, and he says it doesn't exist. He's not going to allow a Senate vote on the repeal of Obamacare. But there may be better efforts at that level to repeal sections of it, like ending the mandate. I mean, that would simply destroy it right then and there because the whole basis for Obamacare is based on the ability to force every American, unless, of course, you're Amish or some other religious sect that they gave an excuse to not participate, or if you're McDonald's or other large corporations that have asked for waivers to participate. Other than that, everybody has to do it. Hey, John Lewis, how is that equal protection under the law working for you with Obamacare?
You know, it just goes to show some Americans seem to be more equal than others, like an animal farm.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you know, equality is not really equality when it's defined by Democrats. And as I've said on this show with you, Michael, the reality is that pre-Obamacare, it wasn't that we had the ideal system. I don't think that even Republicans would acknowledge it was ideal, although they would like to go back to that. But the reason why it wasn't ideal was not because it wasn't universal or social or otherwise. It was because it was already a monopoly. And we've talked about going back 100 years to the dawn of the Flexner Report of 1910, how it literally established a petrochemical medical monopoly, and that was its purpose. And now we reach into not free markets, but corporatism as something that both parties have been equally guilty of.
Well, of course.
Welfare is not just for the Democratic Party. Welfare is equally alive and well in the Republican Party, as it gives special favors, as you say, more equal than others to multinational corporations with no allegiance to any nation or state. And that's where we've seen the Republicans and Democrats have sold the soul of America to the highest bidder. And, of course, now we're sitting on the precipice of a bankruptcy like none other in the history of the world.
This is unbelievable to me.
We've got the Republicans, certainly the Tea Party Republicans. They came into Congress threatening to not allow this business as usual. We're going to stop the spending. We're going to stop the bleeding. And that, you know, at the very best, you see they might break off a little crumb of the wafer and say that we've cut it. Although some have spoken bigger. Senator Rand Paul, the new senator, is looking at a way to cut $500 billion, which is seemingly substantial. Yet, of course, they're fighting for the elevation, if you will, the extension or the removal of the debt ceiling. Again, let's raise it one more time. This time we'll get it right. And, of course, at that point we see the inflation that is occurring due to quantitative easing, too. It will have to be followed by Bernanke's 3, 4, and 5. He won't have enough helicopters to distribute all the paper dollars spread around planet Earth.
Where do you think it goes from here?
If they vote to, again, raise the debt ceiling, what have they accomplished? If they allow it to go higher, you know, the threat that they say is, you'll shut down the government. And at this point, Michael, quite honestly, that might not be a bad thing. I mean, there's still the essential services are still going to happen. But the point is, all of these other unconstitutional things that they're doing, including indoctrinating our children through the Department of Education, might have to back down and maybe one day just be eliminated. Now, they could either do it in an orderly fashion, or they can do it in an inevitable fashion where we see the absolute collapse because nobody's going to accept the paper money anymore, the Bernanke dollars. You've got China now looking at that, and we become a debtor nation, obviously not a creditor nation. And I'm sorry, but if we're debtors, we are beneath, we are enslaved to those that hold the debt over our heads, and China is the biggest and baddest of them all right now. No, they're out there spreading some form of capitalism, and we're out there, you know, practicing empire and nation building to the detriment of our country.
Well, I've been saying that for years on the Savage Nation.
I mean, look at Obama doubling down in Afghanistan, extending it into Pakistan and Oman with what money? I don't know. With what purpose? Nobody knows. And, of course, like Russia, which, you know, funny enough, Russia, of course, went into Afghanistan as the Soviet Union, and it bankrupted them. They turned tail and ran. We can't even learn from history. I mean, we could move out, pull out orderly, bring our troops home, and take care of our borders and afford to do so. Instead, we're going to double down and basically run out of money and be forced home in humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that superpower status is only, we're only able to maintain it as long as we can pay for it.
Exactly.
So whether you believe in our military being in so many countries around the world, if you can't pay for it, it's done. It's over. Which brings me back to the whole basis of nutrition and health care. You know, the reason that we have become dependent and bankrupt by big pharma pharmaceuticals is because the government basically doubled down on a system that it found it could be funded and lobbied heavily. And, of course, the slapping each other on the backs and the special perks that were gotten and all of these things were basically weighed heavier on, for the benefit of the congressman than the people, who then no longer had the freedom to choose, let's say, good nutrition, for which you are a well-known expert with all the books you've written on nutrition and childhood nutrition.
Just further proof that liberals do not want people to empower themselves with natural medicine.
If we expect health care to be universal, of course, we know that can't be done by mandate or fiat. We have to allow people to understand that nutrition is the cornerstone and basis for good health. you can't replace a lack of nutrition with a pharmaceutical drug. There is no biological imperative and need for a nutrient from Big Pharma. We can only get our nutrition from food, and if we ignore that, we ignore it to our own peril, and that's what we have seen. And ironically, a guy like John Lewis, who is foisting the concept that the Constitution supports universal health care or Obamacare, he's literally condemning his constituency to dependence on big government, which is supported by Big Pharma, for which does not support any semblance of nutrition, would like to see nutrition outlawed because, of course, then it would guarantee illness, which would then be handled only by that which government has said is allowed, which under Obamacare is, of course, we come back to drugs.
Oh, like we didn't see that coming.
Now, you and I would defend the right for people, the freedom for people to choose that path should they want it, but to mandate it for everyone and everything when it is not necessary, that is the height of a movement against freedom, against health care, in fact, in a real sense.
Well, to me, it's just another big business money grab, and I have nothing against big business, but there has to be public policy at stake as well. And in this case, it's big business plus big government, which I guess leaves the little people out in the cold.
Yeah, exactly. It's benefiting an artificial economy, basically. When you create a monopoly, you force people to use only one thing, which, again, Obamacare only strengthened the monopoly, did not make it better. And the Democrats, evidently not able to see through their own rhetoric, if you will, to see that the facts here is that they're harming their own constituency by promoting such a monopoly. And, of course, yes, the payback, but the payback is going to come from money that is debased because they have to print more and more. So who's going to be harmed the worst? The poor, the downtrodden, the inner city, those that are so dependent already will become even more, and more of the so-called middle class will become enslaved further because, of course, the money system that they're working hard to gain, or let's say the monetary base that they're working hard to pull in, becomes worth so much less, and then the inflation, which we see in the food costs, the medicine costs, the energy costs, goes out of the reach of the average American, and then they wrongly say we need more government intervention, never realizing that it was the government intervention that basically precipitated it.
Well, sounds like more neo-Marxist liberalism to me.
So when we come back to solutions, which what we're all about here, on the Savage Nation, of course, and what I've dedicated my life to do in health and healing, we've got to come back to the basic foundation that health care is not truly a right. You know, the pursuit of happiness doesn't mean you can steal from your neighbor so that you can have a drug that you think you need. The pursuit of happiness is about having the freedom to control your own life, your own livelihood, your own property, to help care for your kids the way you believe is right. And we can only do that by removing government intervention in the market and allowing the innovation of the marketplace within the medical field and outside of it as well, because healing is not bound by monopoly. It occurred long before the medical monopoly, and healing will once again regain a stronghold as we can no longer pay and afford this kind of monopoly care. And so the future is bright. It's a matter of whether we go willingly in an orderly fashion or whether the chaos ensues temporarily as people figure it out and reset the stage for freedom once again to reign here in these United States.
Well, thanks for the report, Robert. Where can we read more?
Thanks, Michael. Yes, please send all your listeners to robertscottbell.com, and I hope to see some of the Savage Nation audience out at the event I will be speaking at in Phoenix on January 29th at the Nullify Now conference.
This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
Parents talk to their children with, like, cute talk. That's why the child winds up a psycho. You know, I got to tell you a little trick about child rearing. In my opinion, one man's opinion, and I haven't done so bad. Speak to them as you would an adult, and they will grow up more intelligent, and they will be more competent younger. You ever listen to the people with the children? I love the ones who take them to a restaurant and give them a lesson in front of you to show how smart they are, how smart the child is with the pencils and the coloring book. You're spending $29 for a plate of spaghetti that costs 4 cents, and there they are next to you. The guy with the ponytail, he's 63, with a 30-year-old girl he met somewhere at a club. And right away, a year later, they have the 2 years later, they have the baby. And 4 years later, ready the coloring book and the crayons in the pasta palace. And they're all set up. They got the whole thing. They got the backpack. They got the diaper at your next table. And they got the coloring book and the crayons, which should be outlawed in restaurants. It's not ding-dong school. Not everything is a ding-dong school. There was a time, and I raised children. I wasn't allowed in certain restaurants with the children when they were young. I didn't like it. But I understood it. People didn't want to be disturbed by children. Now, if they get sued, if they say to the people, you know what, we'd rather you not change doo-doo at the table, right away they call ACLU or a lawyer like an ACLU, or like a smarter one than an ACLU lawyer, the brother who went into private practice with the same mentality. Marvin goes into the ACLU because he's stupid, and Barry goes into the private practice and sues, but they're the same mentality, two heads of the same hydra. That's it, the coloring books in the restaurant. How do you spell Louisiana, Louise? Very good. And then the mother claps at the desk. Yeah, this is where you're sitting, you're having a romantic meal. $29.95 for the pasta al ripoffo. Antipasto consisting of a piece of old rotten cheese from Brooklyn that they couldn't sell to the Italians in New York because they know better. So they ship it to San Francisco. That's $9.95 for one little piece of mozzarella cheese and a tomato. They give it an Italian name, $9.95 with a tomato and one little piece of cheese that the Italians rejected on the wharf. Even the wharf rats rejected it, but they can sell it in San Francisco. And $29.95 for pasta al creato. I don't mind it, all right? Well, you're going in for the ambience. No one's there for the food. They're in for the ambience. But the coloring book is there right away. And the lessons you have to listen to. Do you ever hear these lessons at these tables? Does this go on in Louisiana or only in the major cities? That you have to listen to these impossible parents. I never talk cute to the children. Okay, I'm a product of my upbringing. Harsh, Spartan-like. Don't be cute. I don't like cute. No jokes. Just get back to work. No matter what I did, I try to entertain my... All right, get back to work. Stop the entertainment. He knew I was trying to, like, wiggle out of work by entertaining him. All right, that's very good. Now get back to it. No radio. On the way into work, I swear to God, if I was, like, driving in his car... I don't know how old I was. He didn't want the radio on. If I try to put the radio on because it was horrible, sitting next to your father in a car on the way to work, it was going to be a horrible day in a disgusting market all day long, which I didn't want to do. I didn't want to go to begin with, but I didn't say anything. Okay, he needed me there. That was the way it was done. I didn't have any option anyway. It was like a little prison camp. But all right, so you sit in the right seat like a dummy, your hands folded on your lap, and nothing, not a word, mum. The whole ride. BQE, the Kosciuszko Bridge, the stink of the pork dying there, the Trun's Meat Market, where the eye goes out. You think that you ran over a skunk, but there are no skunks in Williamsburg. That packing plant in August was enough, Mike. You talk about a weapon of mass destruction. The Trun's Meat Packing Plant in Williamsburg, Brooklyn in the 50s was a WMD. That's why rents were low in those days. The floors were cockeyed with linoleum that when a dog would urinate in the bedroom, it would run into the living room. Because the floors were old. But that's the way it was. No one complained. Today you got the same losers who can't live in Manhattan. They live there now. They discovered the charm of Williamsburg. Oh, I really love it over here. It's really great. You know, it's right near the overpass, and I like the factory area. Nobody ever wanted to live there. Even when it was in its heyday, nobody wanted to live there. But the point I'm making is a little different. So if you sit in the car, you're next to your father driving to work, and, you know, you can't say anything. There's nothing to say. He's grim. He's white. His hands are white-knuckled on the wheel because he's gone in again another horrible day to make a living. Nothing was fun. Nobody worked in those days for fun. This was an evolution of the Dr. Spock generation. Find what's fun and pursue it. Pursue what's fun. To my father, nothing was fun. It was grim. Horrible. It was like Grimm's fairy tales. Came over, work, drop dead, and move on. It's in the ground. In the ground. That's it. Next case. Next generation. There was no fun from another world. They didn't know what the word fun was. So he's driving to work. The hands are like white knuckles. And I'm sitting here. So my hand reaches, the left hand reaches for the radio dial, like to punch a button in. No radio. So what do you mean no radio? I don't want music. Why? Never mind why. This is not entertainment. It's work. So, all right, so work has to be torture. I get it. All right, that's why I'm in the radio business. I was made for this. What I'm getting at is he didn't like cute. If he saw people, and I'm the same way, unfortunately. I become him, in essence. This is how it is. All the years I resisted becoming him, I came, oh, a long time ago I became my father. I admit it. There must be something to it. It worked for him. It's worked for me so far. But he didn't like cute, people who talk cute to the children. You know, the guy was 100% right. Let's say I'm talking generally, 9 out of the 10 couples did not talk to their children in because it was like embarrassing. Anyone who did that, the child either wound up in San Francisco wearing a pink set of tights at 19 expressing himself, or the girl wound up married to her sorority sister. 9 out of 10, they never wound up okay. None of them became anything. That's true because of the liberal upbringing. Liberalism not only is a mental disorder, but destroys children. You need to raise children the old-fashioned way. I don't say hurt them. I never got hit. He didn't hit me. Just verbal abuse. It worked better. This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.